I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to his word.
Our scripture this morning is Mark 11, 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' Just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Thank you, Connie. Anytime our choir people do the readings, they have to do the little run back and forth. I'm just glad they don't trip, fall, or anything else. So did a great job going up there. That was good. You know, when we read this text, oftentimes we think to ourselves, golly, what an exciting time. People are excited. They're jumping up and down. They're throwing palm leaves. They're throwing their cloaks. That's quite a celebration. Celebrating Jesus coming into Jerusalem. But the question is, in the case of these folks and when you and I celebrate, what are our expectations? You know, our expectations can determine whether or not we look back and decide if that was really a celebration or not, whether we should have been celebrating or not. And I think as we go through this story, we find that some of the people were disappointed because their expectation wasn't met by Jesus because they didn't understand his mission. So we read this text, we see a big celebration, and they treat Jesus like royalty. I mean, think about it. The palm leaves, the cloaks, it's like a king is coming into the city, which is exactly what they wanted to portray. But once in Jerusalem, we hear no more about the people who greeted him. Think about this. They celebrate his arrival. He goes into the temple. He comes back out and goes off with the 12, and we never hear about all those people that were celebrating. Where did they go? What happened? There was no crowd following him. Maybe it's kind of like this. Let's think of this. During the dark winter of 1864, at Petersburg, Virginia, the Confederate Army of Robert E. Lee faced the Union divisions of General Ulysses S. Grant. And late one evening, one of Lee's generals, Major General George Pickett, received word his wife had given birth to a beautiful baby boy. Up and down the line, Southerners began to celebrate, building huge bonfires in honor of the baby. These fires did not go unnoticed by the Union. The Northern camp soon realized that Ulysses S. Grant was getting nervous. So he sent out troops to find out what was going on. And the scouts returned with the message that Pickett had had a son. And these were celebratory fires. Well, it so happened Grant and Pickett had been contemporaries at West Point and knew one another pretty well. So to honor the occasion, Grant, too, ordered that bonfires should be built to celebrate. It was a peculiar night. For miles on both sides of the lines, fires burned. No shots fired, no yelling back and forth, no war fought. Only light, celebrating the birth of a child. But it didn't last forever. Soon the fires burned down, and once again the darkness took over, the darkness of the night and the darkness of war. The good news of Jesus' triumphal entry is, in the midst of great darkness, there came a light. And the darkness was not able to overcome the light. Jesus goes in and people are celebrating. It's like this big light comes in. Yet once Jesus was actually in Jerusalem and visited the temple, the darkness once again closed in. Think about how Mark wrote this. Jesus comes in, people celebrating, jumping up and down. It's just wonderful. He goes into the temple, he comes out, and they're gone. Mark wants us to know the darkness closed in. Mark wants us to know that that fire of the people celebrating burned out. But that great light, Jesus Christ, kept going. Have you ever personally experienced or seen others experience the jealousy of others? The jealousy of people who are doing well in life? It's a sad thing, indeed, when someone is assailed with rumors, lies, and personal attacks on their character, which is exactly what happened to Jesus. Sometimes those who know the rumors are not true. Still, they know the rumors aren't true, but they still join in on repeating them as part of the frenzy. So you walk into a crowd, and here's all the Pharisees and Sadducees and Sanhedrin. They're all together, and they're saying, this guy's a crook. He's taking you for everything you got. He's not real. And that crowd that celebrated begins to listen to him. How strange. Because they knew Jesus carried the truth. And that's something they didn't have. That's something they never would have. The story was told of a young preacher who was rejected by the other associate ministers of a church that he attended. They said very little to him and would often talk behind his back. One day he went to the pastor and expressed his intentions of leaving the church and seeking a pastorate somewhere else because he was deeply affected by the rejection he received. He said to the pastor, I don't know what I've done to make these fellows dislike me so much. I really want to be a part of their fellowship, and I've done everything I possibly could to be a friend to them. But for some reason, they keep on rejecting me. The pastor, John, was a wise and seasoned man of God, and he said to the young preacher, why don't you look out the window for a moment and tell me what you see? The young preacher said, I see two trees. I see a china berry tree and a pecan tree. The pastor said, look a little harder. Tell me what you see. The young preacher said, well, I see a lot of sticks and rocks around the pecan tree. But it is very clean around the china berry tree. There's nothing but green grass around the china berry, as a matter of fact. The pastor said, then that's your answer. The reason why you don't see sticks and stones around the china berry tree is because that tree doesn't have anything that people want. But it's different with the pecan tree. People throw things at it because they want what it has. If you have the favor of God, John said, it is quite possible people will throw things at you that you really don't want. Jesus had something that the Sadducees, the Pharisees, Sanhedrin, none of them had, and that's the truth. Something they didn't understand, that was God. Jesus had that, so the sticks and the stones and all the lies and the malicious gossip surrounded Jesus from the time he entered Jerusalem because he had something they didn't have, and they were jealous. Jealousy leads to such behavior. It's ugly and extremely unkind. Just as the members of the Sanhedrin were to Jesus, just as Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, and elders were to Jesus, Jesus had something they wanted, but never had. So they threw insults, name-calling, making fun of him, and where he was from. Remember, can anything good come from Nazareth? And who they believed his father was. Oh, this is Joseph's kid, as though he's nothing. But let us back up. Listen to these words. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road. Others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." At no time do we read anyone on the road attack Jesus verbally or in any other way, because they did not fear his wisdom, and they did not fear his knowledge. In fact, they welcomed it, and therefore they celebrated his entry into the corrupt city where God was not seen as a God of people, but a God of the Jewish elite. A God who favored the leaders of the faith, not the followers. The people wanted and in fact needed a leader who brought God's word to them. The people needed a leader who saw their value, their pain and struggles, their needs. They knew Jesus was that leader. Thus we have the Parade of Palms. In the Gospel of John, the writer says, "Look, the whole world went with him." The leaders of the Jewish faith feared being replaced, but were unwilling to change their ways. Is that not the case even today? People fear the truth, so they don't want to hear it. Unwilling to reach out to the poor and disenfranchised, to take God's word to the people for the people. They liked being on top, being the ones who were worshiped. "Look, I'm a Pharisee, worship me. I'm your leader. I'm the one who can tell you everything you need to know, because God's word is for me, not you. So you need to worship me, because God loves me." Jesus brought a message of God loves you. God wants you. God wants to take care of you. God sees your needs. God sees your wants. That's not what you get from the leadership of the time with Jesus. Plato said, "Only those who do not seek power are qualified to hold it." A lot of truth in that. We know Jesus did not seek power, but to serve. If Plato is correct, and I believe he is, Jesus was definitely qualified. He wasn't seeking power over anyone. He was seeking to serve everyone. When I was in the Navy serving in a squadron, I was attached to the USS Constellation. The captain of our squadron, during a storm, had nothing better to do, so he decided to tell stories. And when the captain decided to tell a story, you listened. That's just the way it was. But he was talking about his early years as a sailor, as a young sailor, and I want you to hear what he said. "Two battleships assigned to a training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. I was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing reported light bearing on the starboard bow. "Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain called out. The lookout replied, "Steady, Captain," which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. The captain then called to the signalman, "Signal that ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came the signal, "Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, "Send. I'm a captain. Change course 20 degrees. "I'm a seaman second class," came the reply. "You had better change course 20 degrees. By that time, the captain was furious. He spat out, "Send. I am a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Back came the flashing light. "I'm a lighthouse." He said, "We changed course." The captain was one of the finest men I had ever known. Great leader and great sense of humor. When he finished this story, I thought, Jesus is that lighthouse. God says, change your course. Here's my son, my only son. I sent him to you. Change your course. Too bad the Sanhedrin and all those within did not change course. And so many since then have not. Had they changed, they too would have been there for the celebration. Had they changed course, those who did celebrate the entry would have still been celebrating. Today, we celebrate our lighthouse, Jesus Christ. May we always be willing to change our course to meet the course of our Lord God, who sent His only Son. That is what we are to do. This day is to celebrate changing our course, accepting the triumphal entry and understanding that Jesus calls on us to be better people, to be those who want to serve, not have power over, who calls us to praise God, which Jesus did a lot, praise the Father, for everything we have, God gave to us. Through our actions, through our skills, through everything God has given us to make pews, lights, whatever, that's a God-given gift. So I say to you, this is a day, Palm Sunday, in which we need to celebrate by changing course to match the course our Lord has sent us on. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you, we know oftentimes we don't want to change course. We'd prefer to do what we want. You haven't asked us to do anything all that difficult. It's just that we prefer the same old thing over and over. If we're used to doing something, that's what we do. Please enter our hearts and minds so that we will change, that we will see that lighthouse, your Son, Jesus Christ, and celebrate His coming. For we ask this in His name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.